Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome on back. It's great to have you here. We're about to dip into the Raiders draft with Scott Baer, our CSN Bay Area Raider insider. But beyond that, we actually have some news today concerning a Raiders player, and it's not great news, but luckily it's not as bad as some might fear when you hear big tight end and ATV accident in the same sentence. Second-year tight end Clive Walford suffered a knee injury during an ATV accident, but he is expected to be ready for the start of spring camp. This is a report filed by Adam Kaplan on ESPN.com. And apparently he'll be fine, and that's good news because I think Clive Walford is one of the reasons why the Raiders are going to win one of the next three Super Bowls. That's where I'm putting the pressure to do that on this team because they've made the right picks. These picks are paying off, and hopefully the picks that Reggie McKenzie made just last week will also pay off for the Raiders early and often. We bring in Scott Baer to talk about it all. Scott, first of all, good to have you on, and give us a little update of what you've heard about Clive Walford, and was it a rollover type of accident? Did he fall off? Did the ATV fall on top of him? Have you heard any details?
Basically everything that I've heard out of the team is, oh, he's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Stop panicking. Not an issue, which is kind of Raiders' trend that they really want to keep their injuries in-house and very quiet. It does sound to me, though, like it was kind of more of like a gnarly-looking injury than maybe he damaged a lot of structure inside of it. And, everything I've heard is that he'll be around for the start of training camp. But this is a guy who missed a lot of training camp last year. He's going to miss most of the off-season program and spring practices this year. And yes, these types of things can be overcome. It's, May. But this is something where you want chemistry between tight end and quarterback because they expect big things out of this young kid. That's why Michael Rivera was on the trade block heading into the draft. Now it makes sense why no news ever came of that because they want to have injury protection there. He will be heavily involved. This is a setback, but again, it's spring, not summer or fall.
The Raiders have made moves on free agency to improve their defense and spend their first three picks on defensive players. And it's an awful lot to ask a rookie safety to replace Charles Woodson, but that's what they'll be asking of Carl Joseph, a guy who can come up and really support playing in the box, guy who runs well in man-to-man. He's coming off an ACL injury. Do you think he's immediately going to be able to get in there and compete?
I do, yeah. And this is another one of these things where any time that you miss off-season or training camp practices as a rookie, it's worth like three practices for a veteran. It just stacks up on you quickly. But when I look at that secondary, which you compare the starting four now versus the starting four 12 months back, it was Charles Woodson and nobody else. Now it's Carl Joseph and everybody else. And I think having Reggie Nelson back with that safety core is going to be so key because you have a 32-year-old guy who is kind of a natural leader back there. And most importantly, Reggie Nelson is a ball hawk. He led the league with 8 picks last year. And at most times, the Oakland Raiders like to play with that single high safety who can roam from sideline to sideline and make plays like Charles Woodson did. Well, if they trust that Reggie Nelson can sit back and be confident back there making the right choices and things like that, guess what? You get young Buck able to go into the box and start hitting people. He can play aggressive because they have a guy like Reggie Nelson behind him. And while a lot of accolades are going to the pickup of Kelechi Osemele and Sean Smith, I think having Reggie Nelson back there, especially for 2016, is going to be key for this young kid that allows him to play free and not play with so much pressure as the last line of defense on every down.
We've got Scott Baer, CSN Bay Area Raiders insider, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So Carl Joseph will hopefully fit in smoothly. And then I can't help but notice they go defensive end in their next two picks with the player from Illinois and then the player from Michigan State. Jahid Ward is a guy who kind of was a surprise, felt like a little bit of a reach. Shaquille Calhoun is a guy who put as much pressure on Big Ten quarterbacks as Joey Bosa did. I thought that might be the steal of the draft in terms of, you know, collegiate resume as to where they got selected.
Yeah, and I mean, you can take mock drafts and light them on fire, and that's mine, and, you know, Daniel Jeremiah's and everybody else included, because once you hit the third pick, they all blow up anyway. But I saw Calhoun on a couple of those first-round, late, early second-round guys, and I just think that he's going to be a good rotational pass rusher off of the edge, where you're going to feature Mack and Irvin, but without Alden Smith until November at the very earliest, you need another rotational guy there. That's where a guy like Calhoun can step in, and hey, you just say, you have one job, pal. Don't worry about coverage. Just see quarterback, hit quarterback, the end. And for a young player like that, who's experienced, who has some pass rush moves, he should be able to fit right in. In terms of this Ward kid, it's so difficult because he only had a couple years Division I experience, and, you know, I'm not a scout, so I can say upside this and that. And the one thing that I do harken back to is if you and I were talking about Mario Edwards Jr. last year at this time, I probably would have said that some scout said he was, what, fat, lazy, and overweight, and, you know, questionable draft pick, and that. And that kid turned out just fine. So I think that we'll see about the second round kid, who will be more of an interior defensive lineman, either at tackle or at that kind of closed end spot, to where Calhoun is going to be off the edge, really attack.
I'm glad that you brought up Mario Edwards Jr., because that was my pivot question. Does drafting back-to-back defensive ends tell us a little bit more about his neck injury, and does it tell us something we don't want to hear about how serious it really is? You want to talk about mum's the word on injuries? You can't get anybody.
Oh, man.
You can't get anybody in that silver and black building to talk about what the real deal is with Mario Edwards. I hope this isn't a harbinger that his time is short.
Yeah, and that is sort of, it's frustrating from our vantage point, because you would think, if this kid's fine, and if you read his social media posts, it's a minor setback for a major comeback, right? Well, then why won't the Raiders just come out and say that, or why won't they come out and say much of anything? What's the big secret here? He's either available or he isn't, and we can have a good idea maybe of what's going on here. Of course, they said specifically, Jack Del Rio said, that drafting these two defensive players, that Mario Edwards had no impact on their selection. So I guess we take them at face value. Mario Edwards has been able to be involved in the conditioning phases of this offseason program. We still don't have a formal diagnosis. And in talking to people on his side of the aisle, and I've done that a couple different times, they give the, oh, yeah, nothing's wrong, he's cool, don't worry about it. So you have a lot of those types of things. And then you have the Raiders kind of keep pushing it off into the horizon. Well, you know, back around Super Bowl time, Reggie said, oh, he's going to have tests next month. We'll see. And then Jack said, oh, he'll have tests in April when we talk to him at the combine. It's always something else out there.
Right. And the results of the test are never shared.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, bottom line, they can afford to give him time right now. The one advantage is whether they were trying to cover for Mario Edwards with additional personnel, they have it. They have depth there, not just with this Ward kid, but they have DeNico Autry on the inside. They have other players that can rotate in, but they do need that guy. And I think that if you have, you know, Irvin and Mack, and then Edwards on the inside, let's not forget about Dan Williams, and you keep bringing depth. If you look at the Seattle Seahawks, which we use them as an example maybe of what the Raiders defense wants to be because of the natural link with Ken Norton Jr., that defensive front had a constant rotation. Bruce Irvin has already said it, that they rotated eight guys when they were really feasting back in 2013. You bring in fresh talent all the time, those offensive linemen. All it takes is one big mistake to knock a quarterback out or a big play, and I think that's ultimately what they're trying to achieve. Mario Edwards being healthy really kind of helps them achieve that end.
Well, and you talk about a quarterback is one play away from being done. Maybe that's part of the explanation for, I thought, one of the surprise picks of the entire draft was the Raiders in the fourth round grabbing Connor Cook from Michigan State. Obviously, when you think backup quarterback with a young starter like Derek Carr, you're looking for a veteran there. But, you know, Connor Cook could have a huge upside. He could be a trading piece for them a little bit later on. He's young enough to give Carr that push, hopefully, so he doesn't get comfortable. Not that I think he would get comfortable and start mailing in effort or anything like that. I just think that's against Derek Carr's nature. But the pick is either really interesting or a total waste of time. Only the future will tell.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that pick has really kind of two interesting points to it. Number one, if you look back at Reggie McKenzie's background with the Packers, they were always drafting quarterbacks, even when they had Brett Favre, and it wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. They always had fresh guys coming in from those middle rounds, and backup quarterbacks are invaluable. But let's say that you're Connor Cook for one second. Try to get into his mind. He probably thinks, and he's probably heard on draft day, I'm going to the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, have a 36-year-old broken-down quarterback. And he's thinking, oh, I could be with America's team and be a starter maybe within 2 years after some grooming. What a great situation. Oh, wait, somebody traded up, and now I'm behind a 25-year-old Pro Bowler for the next 4 years? I mean, his whole dynamic must have shifted, probably thinking Cowboys and then ending up with the Raiders. And I think it'll be important for a guy so much has been talked about. Is he a good teammate and leadership, this, that? And I don't know one way or the other, but I think this is going to be a real proving ground to that end, because now you come in behind an established guy, and do you show up? Do you compete for that backup job and prove that, hey, I can either be one play away and then try to build up? And let's be honest, you look at Kirk Cousins or Ryan Mallett or a lot of these other guys or Brock Osweiler that play a couple games here or there and then sign for way too much money. That's not a bad way to go either. So I think if he keeps his head on straight, he can get paid and get his opportunity down the line, either here or somewhere else. You know, obviously, if he stays focused, but this can be a spot where you're sitting behind a very established, very young guy, and you could drift the other way.
Scott, thanks a lot, man. Good to catch up with you, and great to have you on. Thank you, and we'll chat again real soon.
Thanks, Damon. Appreciate it, buddy.
Scott Baer, CSN Bay Area Raider Insider.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.